The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q. Once again, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to us on the Blowtorch of the Midwest, KYRO, 1280 AM. Thank you so much for listening. Check out theqnow.com if you guys get a chance. And of course, this show is sponsored by none other than American Patriot Beer. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But before we get to that, a Maryland man gets drunk and kills 70,000 chickens all at the same time. We're going to talk about that, as well as I've got an interesting proposition, a little bit of a controversial topic to talk about. We're going to get into that a little bit. And once again, I am joined by my favoriteest co-host in the entire world, Matthew Kruger from Savage Vibrations. What up, Matt? How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. 70,000, really?
70,000 chickens. We're going to talk about that in a
minute. Is that avian genocide?
It's very possibly close to this guy could be considered the Hitler of chickens. That's all going to say. You know, Matt, coming up this Monday, here in a few days, is one gorgeous holiday that we like to call Labor Day.
Okay.
And on Labor Day, things like to happen, like barbecues. And if there was a barbecue going on, is there anything that you could think of that you would want to have to drink while being at a barbecue?
Yes.
And what would that be?
Coffee.
And what else?
American Patriot Beer.
I think that American Patriot Beer is the perfect addition. Like, okay, because you're, let's say you're, you like to cook, right?
Uh-huh.
You're a big cooking guy.
I love to cook.
Okay, so you're sitting there.
A chef, if you would.
You have to baste ribs. And
well, there's different types of rib cooking that
fair enough. You can baste them, right?
You can soak them.
Oh, yeah. What do they call that? A marinade. You can marinate them. You could rub them, dry rubs, mm-hmm. right?
Smoking
them. You can smoke ribs. Now, what's your preference? What do you like to do?
I like to slow cook my ribs.
So you like a smoker?
Well, yeah, sort of. I like a dry rub and then a very, very slow cook wrapped in foil in the oven.
Now, if you were to marinate, what kind of marinating would you like to do?
Ideally, what I like to do is, and I do this same recipe with pork steaks.
Okay.
So, like, pork ribs and pork steaks is really good for this.
Get out your notebooks, ladies and gentlemen, because he's getting ready to break it down.
And it's kind of a St. Louis-style way to barbecue is you get one of those giant foil oven pans.
Right.
And you fill it with your ribs.
Right.
And you fill it with your, or your pork steaks. And Mall's barbecue sauce is great for this because Mall's St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, of course, you would use your American Patriot beer, because it's St. Louis now.
Right.
And so you mix your barbecue sauce and your beer all right there, and you throw it in the either in the oven or on top of a grill or, like, a wood fire, and you just let it sit for, like, 3-4 hours and just let it all soak. Everything just comes straight off the bone. It's delicious.
And it, like you said, a beer-based marinade is always a good way to go.
Oh, definitely.
You can't beat a good beer-based marinade. Now, I do have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's say a person, we always want to drink responsibly.
Always
want to drink responsibly, and you have to make sure that you do that very carefully on a very big holiday like Labor Day, okay? I don't think that it's a problem for anyone out there to grab a few cases of American Patriot beer. They got two different versions, light as well as the normal, the regular.
The original.
The original, full flavored, as we like to call it. And, throw a few back, but you want to drink responsibly. You don't want to drink and drive, obviously.
Never.
Never want to drink and drive. We don't want any of the people out
there. Too many consequences.
We don't want to. We don't want anyone out there who is partying this weekend for Labor Day. We don't want any of you guys to get hurt. Please, we don't condone drinking and driving, so we want you guys to be safe, too. And American Patriot Beer wants you to be safe. Drink responsibly. But I have a question. Now, I have a few friends who have been recovering alcoholics before. And here's my simple question. If a barbecue sauce is beer-based, does that break the rules of someone? Would you think that that would break the rules of someone who is a recovering alcoholic? If it's a beer-based barbecue sauce?
Well, I don't know, but a lot of times when you cook with like wine or like there's like vodka, you know, like
right.
marinara sauces and, you know, vodka meat sauces and stuff right. like that for pasta. And even with, you know, the barbecue sauce and beer mixture, a lot of that alcohol is all evaporated and cooked out. You just have the flavor. There's
Fair enough.
No alcohol in it.
Fair enough. I was just wondering because I thought that would be. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah. Fair enough, but you're probably right. They're probably.
I'd have to ask one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it probably does evaporate. That does make sense to me. But anyway, don't forget to drink American Patriot beer. Enjoy yourselves this Labor Day weekend. Matt and Mark want you to be safe. You can get it at Mobile on the Runs, as well as Deerbergs and Schnucks and all your local favorites here in the St. Louis area. American Patriot beer, taking back America, one beer at a time. So, Matt. How would you go about killing 70,000 chickens?
Jeez. Right through my, just like immediately, I'm thinking like five different ways and it all ends with eating them.
Okay, 70,000? That's a lot of chicken wings. That's a lot of buffalo.
I would have to do it with a lot of friends.
That's a lot of buffalo sauce.
Dude.
That's all I'm saying. Frank's Red Hot, it'd be going crazy.
Like, it would have to be done in, like, a smelting plant, but, like, instead of, like, you know...
chickens seems like it would fill like a beer, like, you know how the big beer vats?
Yeah, that's
like,
what I'm thinking.
It
I'm
feels
thinking,
like that would be full.
I'm thinking, like, a steel, you know, smelting plant, but instead of, like, the giant pot filled with steel, it's, like, fryer oil.
Wow. Okay, up to a point...
I would make them march off the edge like lemmings.
Well, let's see how our friend in Maryland did this. Up to a point, Joshua Shelton had a normal Friday night this past weekend. The 21-year-old got drunk and passed out in his shack wearing only a t-shirt and his boxers soaked in his own urine. And who hasn't done that before, Matt? Let's be honest.
I can't think of anybody.
Well, the point that separates Shelton's night from yours and mine was that when he woke up in Wicomico County Sheriff's deputy was there to inform him that he had murdered 70,000 chickens overnight.
Jeez.
So you wake up out of a drunken stupor with piss all over your clothes. And the first words
probably
on your
some vomit.
Is that you murdered 70,000 chickens overnight. Okay. It seems as though in the process of sneaking into a chicken farm's control shack, Shelton somehow managed to turn off the power to three of the property's chicken houses, depriving the chickens of food, water, and temperature control. So they all died. The value of the dead chickens, $20,000, which is about 28 cents a chicken. Total.
Man, that's cheap. That's cheaper than Walmart.
Anyway, Shelton is being charged with second-degree burglary, trespassing, and malicious destruction of property, and is being held on a $75,000 bond. So his bond is three times as much as the value of the chickens that he killed. So there you go.
I would think that the chickens would cost more.
Yeah, I would think that the chickens would cost more, too. It just, to me, it seems like that's hard to pull off. Like, I understand what they're saying, you know, you turn off the power, you cut the food and water generator, you know, so that it can't do, the machine can't run the food and the water properly.
Yeah, but in a single night, they're not going to starve and dehydrate to death.
Evidently, they did, which is weird. So, makes you wonder, like, how close are these chickens to death at all times anyway, then? Literally. So yeah, that's been going on. Have you been paying attention to anything with the, our friend Todrick Aiken?
Todrick?
Todrick Aiken. Good old Todd Aiken. I talked about it last week on the show when I had Curtis Wilde on.
Okay.
But Todd Aiken, you know, said the legitimate rape stuff. And where do you stand on something like that? When someone says just a stupid, yeah.
I think that's really what it is. I think it was just a stupid comment. He was ill-informed. If he honestly believes it, or if it was a slip of tongue, that's the one thing. I had heard, though, that this is something that he has said before.
Like, right. He believes there's a doctor. There's a doctor that has this belief, and he's a big, strong believer in this idea.
And apparently this doctor has enough letters behind his name to give him some credibility that
true.
Todd Aiken doesn't have the letters behind his name that I know of.
Right.
So, I mean, if the guy has the credentials, why wouldn't you believe him?
Now,
was it stupid? Yeah, I don't think it's career ending.
I don't think it's career ending either. And, you know, I'm willing to give a guy like Todd Akin benefit of the doubt. I think it was extremely stupid. I do think he should still step down. As I explained last week on my show, and see where you stand with this when I'm done saying it.
Okay.
When Mitt Romney, the guy who's running for president of the United States, mm-hmm. who is the most powerful Republican at the time, asks you to step down, and you basically tell him to go F himself.
Right.
That kind of shows an insubordination to the most powerful Republican who could potentially be president, mm-hmm. but even if he's not, that kind of shows that there's dissension within the party, that they don't even trust Mitt Romney, or they are not willing to do what Mitt Romney asked them.
Okay, but here's the thing. Mitt Romney is asking Todd Akin to resign or, you know, I guess pull out of the race because he thinks that it will appeal to more people. Mitt Romney probably doesn't want Akin out, but Mitt Romney probably thinks, well, if all these people want him out, all these people are people that could possibly be voting for me, and I don't want to make them mad, so I'm going to follow mob mentality and ask him to resign just like everybody else is. Where Todd Akin is the man apart. He's the man who's standing up for himself and saying, no, screw you all. I'm going to do me. I'm going to continue, and if I win, guess what, guys? Y'all are in for some crazy stuff.
Now,
I can appreciate a guy who's going to stand up for himself.
Now, I can appreciate that too.
There's so many people that will say something stupid, and then they throw out that, oh, I'm really sorry, and I take it all back, is trying to, like, appease everyone. And I feel so sorry for those people. Like, I dislike more people that come out with those ridiculous, insincere apologies.
Right.
Than if they had just stood their ground and say, no, I meant what I said. You know? And so I feel that way about Todd Akin.
Now, if it does take a... Okay, let's say the Todd Akin does win. Okay?
Uh-huh.
What does that say about our Missouri brethren?
What does that say about Claire McCaskill?
What is that? Well, not only that, but what does that say about Missouri and the conservatives within Missouri? They stand behind people that are willing to make some pretty outlandish claims. Let's be honest. Right. I mean, his claim was that a woman's body, if she is legitimately raped as opposed to not legitimately raped,
right?
You know, I understand what he's trying to say. Forcibly, like the most extreme cases of rape, like pull you into an alley behind a trash can, beat you with a knife, and rape. Okay, that's what he is trying to get at, as opposed to the boyfriend at the college frat party who you told no to, but then you both got really drunk, and then halfway through you're like, oh no, I don't like it anymore, right? Even though just 30 seconds earlier you were like, yeah, go ahead, let's try, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get where Todd is at. Like, I understand. Like, that's why I think that he did kind of misspeak to an extent. But what does that kind of say when you basically said that women's bodies shut down the ability to become pregnant because they know the difference between, oh, go ahead and do it to me, versus don't do that at all, this is the most dangerous version of rape. Right. And that's just stupid. That's not true at all.
It is stupid.
And now, then if there's people that agree with him and stand behind him, what does that say about those people?
I don't think it has anything to do with agreeing with him. I don't think anybody agrees with him. But just because you vote for Todd Akin does not mean that you agree with his rape statement at all.
All right.
I mean, you're not voting for Todd Akin just based on his, you know, opinions of abortion, you know, or, you know, legitimate rape. Because I think that's really what it all stems from, is his bill that he wrote with abortion and whether or not government funding will go to it. Because I don't know a whole bunch about this, but I think the bill was basically, okay, we don't want a whole bunch of people that just got drunk one night and decided to have sex with their boyfriend going and showing up and wanting abortion, saying, oh, well, he raped me, and so you need to pay for my abortion now.
Right, yeah, we don't want the snooky aspect of life.
So I think that's kind of where that statement came from. It's a messy.
But at the end of the day, you come down to, do I support him and vote for him, or I don't?
Well, yeah, and you're not just voting for that one particular aspect of, you know, his campaign.
True,
there's all different types. I mean, a couple of shows when we had what show was that? We were talking with Taryn, and we basically ran
A couple months ago.
And we just ran down, like, all the different talking points of the politics.
Both sides.
All the different issues. And you had one side, and I grabbed the other side.
Go back to thecunow.com, some of our old episodes, and find the one where we discussed
And being pro-life and pro-choice was one of those things that we talked about. But that was by far not the only thing we talked about. And if anything, I think we spent the least amount of time on that. Is it important? Yes. Is it the most important issue? I don't think so.
Fair enough. As opposed to being a dead horse, I think that Todd Akin should step down. Matt thinks that Todd Akin should fight on.
Definitely.
Did you hear,
this was the day before his press conference.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what was said in the press conference. Right. I was kind of on a blackout date for media and everything.
Right.
I wasn't paying attention that day. But the day before, they sent out a press release to all the different radio stations. And the press release was... we've fallen a couple of points in, I guess the rating points. I think they had dropped 13 points.
Right.
But Claire McCaskill was still sitting at only 47%.
Right. As soon as...
And so they had sent it out. They were like, if Claire McCaskill can't gain and just whoop us completely... Then we think that doesn't say much about Claire McCaskill, and we think she should step down.
Well,
that stunned me. Right. That was funny.
It's ballsy. It's ballsy to be as stupid as you were the day before, make that kind of a blunder, and then still ask your opponent because they're just getting their butt kicked.
Ask your opponent to step down. I got some respect for that.
Now here's the funny thing. Once he told Mitt Romney, no, I'm not stepping down, and basically showed insubordination to the most powerful Republican currently.
Okay.
He dropped in the polls against Claire McCaskill almost 10 points.
Okay.
Now, since then, he has regained again slowly, but he's got a bigger problem.
The mob has a fickle mind.
His problem is that at the Republican National Convention, he wants to speak, and they are refusing to allow him to speak.
Oh, I totally think they should let him.
Because of his insubordination to the guy running for president of the United States.
Well, they probably are like, no, you, Mitt Romney, the guy who you're supposed to be speaking for, told you to step down, and you said no? It's like, oh, well,
you're going to take your lashings. Yeah, you're going to take your lashings. Exactly. And I think that that's fair. Because the truth is that that game is played across the entire nation.
I think basically if he does speak at that convention, it'll make Mitt Romney look weak. And I think that's what they're afraid of. Because if they're like, if Akin isn't even going to listen to you, who else isn't going to listen to you?
That's the point.
Foreign policy?
And
dictators from other countries?
Exactly. And that is the point. That's the point that Mitt Romney needs to understand is why he shouldn't even be running for president of the United States right now. There's just no reason for you to even be there, dude. Your vice presidential candidate just doesn't have your money. Had he had your money, he would be a better candidate to take down Barack Obama than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. This isn't even a question at this point of whether Todd Akin blew wad and said something stupid or not. This really comes down to, do you guys even have your, did you hear what they had done the first day of the Republican National Convention? What they had done was, usually they wait until the end of the national convention for each state to put their write-ins and basically say, we elect Mitt Romney to represent the Republican Party for the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They wait till the end of the conference usually. They were so eager to get it out of the way, they did it at the first 20 minutes of the conference.
Right.
Which, to me, seems a little odd. And the reason I'm saying that seems a little odd is for the fact that it's kind of bucking tradition. But for a party where you guys were going at each other's throats with Newt Gingrich, with Herman Cain, with Mitt Romney, with Rick Santorum, and all these people over the last 6 months, and Ron Paul too, all claiming that they had the go-ahead, the gusto to become president of the United States. And there was a lot of infighting. We had the thing here in outside of St. Louis, Missouri, the delegation situation in St. Peter's that fell apart because of the Ron Paul supporters, and they were all supposed to make their delegates and all that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but That was earlier this year. Excuse, I'm just having a brain fart right now. That was earlier this year because the party's platforms couldn't get on the same page to even run a meeting to nominate a candidate properly. And now all of a sudden, in the first 20 minutes of the RNC, you guys are just like, oh, we're all best friends. Yeah, Mitt Romney's our guy. Really? Riley?
Randy.
Really? Seriously, that's
Jimmy.
That's my point. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It seems like that they're trying to push through something more than what we are to believe. And I think that that's kind of where we stand at this point. I just think Todd Akin, good for you, man. If you stay in there and you're able to win, that is just amazing. Mitt Romney, if you actually become president with guys like Todd Akin, who just tell you to go F yourself, and you just kind of like tail between the legs and walk off. What is these, like you said, the other countries going to do to you? Is Margaret Thatcher going to come back and like just tell you what to do? Or like is Hillary Clinton going to run the White House from like upstate New York with Bill or something behind the scenes? Just because they're like, hey, we used to be president. So, and you don't know what you're doing. So we're just going to run it. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Bill. You know, like, what are you? Grow some, dude. Be like, dude, Todd Akin, if you don't step down, man, I'm serious. Like, we are going to, like, ruin your career. Done.
And that is BS.
You think so? Because that's the way those guys play that game.
Okay, let's just say Todd Akin.
Yeah, I'm listening. Todd Akin.
Let's just say Todd Akin comes back from this,
yes,
and he has an amazing, rest of the campaign, and he wins, and like his entire thing in office, he accomplishes so much. But yet, let's also say Mitt Romney wins.
Okay,
and that makes Mitt Romney look like a fool because, well, everyone and their mother was basically chose the wrong stance of asking Akin to go down. Now, I don't think.
But that's just Missouri. See, that's just the people of Missouri. And the people of Missouri tend to not think correctly all the time. That's my problem with
that's
Todd Akin.
That's humanity. But that's not. You say this all the time, but it's not just St. Louis. It's not just Missouri. It's people everywhere.
Right. But other states would not allow this to happen. Like, the person would have stepped
down.
We're
forgiving people.
No, we're crazy. We have Travis Cooks, and we have people like Todd Akin who say these things.
Travis Cooks got nothing to do with nothing right now.
You're right. He has nothing to do with nothing right now. But my point is that these people are willing to... Travis has already stated on Facebook in multiple places he's still going to vote for Todd Akin.
And why not?
And I'm like sitting there going... Because it just makes everyone
think that
you agree.
He said something stupid. But it doesn't, and I've already said that. It does not. Voting for Todd Akin does not mean that you agree with his stupid, stupid comment. There are so many other things that he's got going for him, or else he wouldn't be in the position he's in anyway.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the Cube. When we come back, I got a controversial issue and a topic to talk about.
More controversial than me supporting Akin.
It's not about politics. It's not a politics thing at all. So stay tuned. Check out thecuenow.com, theqnow.com during this break. We'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and this is The Q on KYRO 1280 AM. Matthew Krueger from Savage Vibrations is joining me today.
Can't find my water.
You can't find your water. Where did you leave it out in the studio's main area, the lobby?
Nope, found it.
All right.
I'll be right back. Hold on.
No problem. All right.
Well, keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking. He's going to run and go find him his water, and we're going to talk about... This three-year-old, I don't know if any of you guys heard, but there is let me tell you the story. A deaf preschooler in Grand Island, Nebraska has been prohibited from signing his own name because school administrators believe the gesture he uses looks too much like a gun. He's deaf, and his name sign, they say, is a violation of the weapons policy. Hunter Sponier's father told Channel 10/11. Okay, before we go any further, he told Channel 10/11. Do you guys got a problem up there in Nebraska with having like a single station, like Channel 10? Like, I have Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 6. Do you have ones like 10, 11, 12, 13?
Maybe it's like one of those HD2s.
Maybe. I don't know. Channel 10/11 is all it says here. Hunter uses uses signing exact English, or SEE, a form of manual communication that uses modified ASL's hand shapes in an effort to better mimic the spoken English language. Anyone that I have talked to thinks this is absolutely ridiculous, Hunter's grandmother told the news outlet. This is not threatening in any way. Evidently, she just told the news outlet, not Channel 10, 11, or 6, 7. the preschool.
He's three years old.
3 years old. Which has a strict zero tolerance policy toward any instrument that looks like a weapon, would not discuss the matter, but said that they were working with the parents on a compromise. Yeah, the compromise is everyone's three in the class. They're not listen. I think it's very true. There was a statement that was made to me a few years ago on Facebook, and I know it's kind of cheesy to say that, but it was very true. Nobody is born a racist. Nobody is born hate-filled.
You make this kid change his name at school, what's that going to do?
You're creating someone like that. Nobody's born hate-filled. Adolf Hitler was not hating Jews at the age of two. Adolf Hitler was running around his house, in his mom and dad's house or whatever, picking flowers and kicking balls. That's what he was doing at the age of two. He was not formulating a way to put a bunch of people on trains and mass genocide.
Nope.
He wasn't. Neither is Hunter here, okay? Hunter is not using the gun hand sign language for anything other than to try to tell other kids what his name is.
Okay, and so, like, his sign language is basically take your hand, make a gun, but use, like, your middle finger and your pointer finger, okay?
Right.
And in order to make it more uniquely his own, he crosses those two fingers.
Right, so that people know that he's talking about his name.
My name. This is my name.
Right. And he can't speak. He's deaf.
And what you had just said, it is an SEE registered sign.
Yes.
For Hunter.
And the fact that the preschool is actually taking a zero tolerance, okay, I get it. If the kid brought a 9mm in his bag to school, yeah, that's fine. If he's got a water pistol, no.
Right.
That stupid, stop it. This is the stupid, ridiculous, conservative Midwestern crap I am talking about. Those teachers are trying to CYA themselves so hard on this situation. Cover your, you know what.
Okay, I was like, CYA?
They're trying to CYA themselves so hard on this situation that they by default look like morons.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay, so, A little small tangent, you know, following, you know, keeping the story
going.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Hunter's parents say that by Monday, lawyers from the National Association of the Deaf are likely to weigh in for Hunter's right to sign his own name.
Sure, they should.
And so despite whatever rules and regulations may exist, some Grand Islanders said that they don't think it's right to make a three-year-old change the way he says his name. And I agree with them. I mean, he has the right to say his own name. And just because he doesn't speak a verbal English doesn't make it a weapon. It's his name. It's not a weapon. And I okay, so here's the thing. I don't think that, I don't even think that the fact that he holds his hand in the shape of a gun even enters into the mind of a three-year-old.
Of course not. That's my point. They're three. I have a three-year-old at home. My daughter is stuck, literally stuck, on making sure that her character on Lego Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides on the Nintendo DS has a banana sword and the big head unlocked. That's all she cares about, okay? She's not running around going, I'm a pirate, and then trying to hit our six-month-old son, Reed, with a sword or stab him with anything, or she's not swashbuckling.
If she did, it would be a banana, so it's not going to hurt anyway.
Yes, her most important thing every day is, can I play the game? And if she gets to play the game, can you make sure that my guy's got a big head and a banana sword? Because the banana sword is funny to me, and I like swinging the banana sword. Three-year-old's mindset, okay? She's not trying to take over Somali ships. She is not dressed like Blackbeard. People, listen.
And
Todd Akin's an idiot.
Hunter's not an idiot, okay?
He said this wasn't going to be about politics.
Hunter's not an idiot. Help everyone out. Make sure Hunter is allowed to do what he does well, and make sure Todd Akin pays for stupidity. Because Todd is a lot older and should know better by now. That's all I'm saying. At least I give leniency to Hunter. That's all I'm saying. I give leniency
to Hunter. You know what I think it comes down to is good parenting.
Yeah.
If you aren't parenting your kids and you're leaving the parenting up to other people, then, you know, hey, you know, she might be, you know, your daughter might be grabbing swords or sticks and swinging them at people, but she's not. And why? Because you've taught her different. You've taught her that that's not okay. This is a game. It's got a banana and a big head and it's fun, but that's a game. That's not real life. That's not how we behave.
Now, we were talking about the Republican National Convention, and of course, at the exact same time that the Republican National Convention decides to happen, also, we have had Hurricane Isaac pop out of absolutely nowhere, which is now throttling the Midwest with its rain showers that we're dealing with. And here's the funny thing. Samuel L. Jackson, evidently, he just doesn't understand God's will at this point. He doesn't. Samuel L. Jackson should understand God's will at all times because that's what Samuel L. Jackson does. But he, at this point, he's not understanding the perpetual badass Samuel L. Jackson ruffled a few Twitter feathers the other day when he took to the social networking site to vent his frustration about Tropical Storm Isaac's New Orleans bound tract. Now, originally it was supposed to hit Tampa Bay, where the Republican National Convention was being held.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said on his Twitter, you ready? This is some unfair SH word. GOP spared by Isaac, exclamation point. NOLA probably effed again. That's New Orleans, Louisiana. Probably effed again. Not understanding God's plan.
Okay.
So our friend Sam Jackson thinks that for some reason he should be let in on God's plans. And he's not happy that Isaac decided to swing and not hit the Republican National Convention.
Now, did you hear what Ellen Barkin said?
I did not. What did Ellen Barkin say? Because it sounds...
Okay. What Ellen Barkin said, and she tweeted this. It said, "Come on, Isaac. Wash every pro-life, anti-education, anti-woman, xenophobic, gay-bashing, racist, SOB right into the ocean. Hashtag RNC."
Okay.
That, I have a huge problem with that, because for all of the, what's the word I'm looking for? For all of the...
Stereotypes?
Stereotypes that she thinks, you know, I guess the RNC represents, she is being basically kind of exactly what she's...
Okay.
Wanting it washed into the ocean.
Let's take a run down this road. We like to be a little controversial here on the show.
Right.
Let's take a run down this road for a second.
It's a bit hypocritical.
Okay. Let's look at each of these things, regardless of the overall statement, and let's see how close to true she is or not. Would we say that most conservatives, now everything has to be done by majority. Okay, we can't say that because it's a 49-51 split. No, no, no. I'm talking about the majority. We have to have an agreement between me and you, Matt, that the majority of conservatives, or Republicans in this case, fall under the category she has given. So, would the majority of conservatives be considered pro-life?
I would think so.
I would think so, too. So, there's one. Would the majority of conservatives be anti-education?
No, I don't think so.
Now, I think that you might be right, because but the way that they're explaining anti-education, you understand where that's coming from, right? The idea that conservatives tend to believe that we need to shut the public school system down and go to a private parochial, like, you know, parochial schools are paid to go to school, that kind of a system.
Okay.
We need to go to a pay-for-schooling type system for high school, middle school, elementary school, and all that. Even though a majority of them benefited heavily from going to public schools.
Okay.
So that's where the anti-education is. Now, I know for a fact a lot of them do fall under that category of wanting to shut public schools out because they think it's just a burden financially on our system, financial system. So I will agree with you. I don't think that they all fall into that.
You know what else is a burden on the financial system?
What's that?
Overpaid congressmen.
True. One and one. We're at one and one.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-woman?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. When you have the statements like Todd Akin made, you have a lot of the rape stuff going around right now. There seems to always have been not a very strong pro-woman.
Going back to the Todd Akin thing, I don't think that statement was anti-woman.
True. I don't think it was anti-woman.
I think he was actually trying to give props to women.
I think what he was saying, though, is...
He was an idiot about it.
I think it's just the fact that there seems to be this overriding idea that women kind of are second class to a Republican and conservative in most cases. Like, they're not the primary focus, whether it's their baby or not their baby, whether it's the way they should act as a woman, all those things. There's usually a conservative that's telling them how they need to have their life. And I would agree with that to an extent, but I'll give that two for the cons, okay? I'll say two for the cons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not one that we agree on.
Okay.
So we're going to say we have one guaranteed that we agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Two that we're kind of, eh. Yeah. All right. Xenophobic, definitely. Anti-immigration, anti-illegal alien, anti-aliens of any sort whatsoever.
But that's not xenophobic. That's not a phobia.
Yeah, that is xenophobic. Like, they don't want them around.
But it's not a phobia. They're not afraid of it.
No, they are afraid of allowing people to continue to come into our country.
No, a fear is something that is irrational. Most fears. A phobia is an irrational fear.
Okay.
Now, there are rational and irrational fears.
Can I ask you a question? If you lived in Missouri, like you do,
mm-hmm.
right, and you had a problem with illegal aliens coming over the border in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
down there by New Mexico,
okay,
you don't live anywhere near New Mexico.
Okay.
You live in Missouri.
Okay.
You are not at the point of impact. There is no true effect on your local commerce and system at all from people coming over the border down in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have a problem with people coming over the border into New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That seems xenophobic.
No,
there's an unnatural fear there for some reason that you have to play off of.
Still, I don't think it's a fear. I think it is a it is a very reasonable, economy-based decision and stance that people have taken.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll say one in three. We're one in three. Gay bashing, if we can't agree on this one, like, yeah, the Chick-fil-A thing was pretty straightforward. Like,
but that's, okay, once again, I don't see it as gay bashing. She is taking an extreme stance, and I know why she's
doing
it.
I understand.
I know why she's doing
it. She's jumping to the extremities.
Once again, you call people homophobic. No, it's not homophobia.
Right.
They just don't agree with, you know, somebody being, you know, a homosexual.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're afraid of them.
Right, but they go out of their... But here's the thing. Like, okay, yes, like, she's saying, most...
I had a friend of mine. He's like... And he made a post on Facebook. He's like, I don't like homophobia. You're not afraid. You're just a jerk. It's like, I like that.
Okay.
I can get that. I mean, he didn't use the word jerk, but...
Fair enough. That makes sense to me. I can see where that's coming from. I can totally see where that's coming from. Racist?
No.
You don't think that a majority of conservatives are racist?
No.
By any means.
I'm a conservative. I'm not any of these things. I'm pro-life, but...
Okay, you're pro-life.
Well, obviously, I kind of flip-flop, don't I, on that?
Yeah, we're not going to go down that road. you're not anti-education, obviously.
No.
You're not anti-woman by any means.
I love women.
That's
well documented.
Xenophobic. I wouldn't necessarily say you personally are xenophobic.
No.
You're definitely not a gay basher by any means whatsoever. Racist? No, I don't think that you're racist. But here's the thing.
Am I an SOB? Yeah.
I would say
she's got me there.
I would say that a majority of the people that are at the Republican National Convention do fall not as hard-edged as these words are.
I mean, maybe I'm out of touch.
But I think they do fall into a lot of these categories. Dude.
Maybe I'm out of touch with my own party.
Hold on. Let's use, and I know he's not here to defend himself, but let's use Travis, and this is my opinion. I'll make sure that Travis knows that we talked about him so that he can defend himself aptly and fairly.
Right.
Let's use Travis, who is a Tea Party member
mm-hmm.
and a very hard-edged conservative, mm-hmm. okay? He's definitely pro-life. I know for a fact, based off of tons, and I mean tons of discussions between me and him, he is anti-education. He wants to shut down the private or public education system. shut it completely down. Even though he graduated from it, he wants to shut it down. He agrees with Todd Akin on the whole rape thing. He does not care about women's or women's rights or women's anything like that. He loves women. He loves boobies. He's explained that on our show 1,000 times. Like, he thinks that they need to stay at home and do what they do. Okay?
The whole woman in the kitchen stance.
I wouldn't necessarily say he is xenophobic, as in he's afraid of them, because he would pull a gun on them and defend himself aptly against Mexicans running at him.
He's
just
very staunchly against
them. He is staunchly, staunchly against anyone who is not from the United States of America that comes into our borders, in general. I would not say he's a gay basher, because I've never heard him gay bash anyone in my entire life. Uh-huh. I would not say that he is racist. I would say that he has tendencies to, I'm not going to come out and say it, but you can read between the lines. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I would never say that Travis is racist by any means whatsoever.
Okay.
I've never seen him be racist. But he definitely does have, like, you know, he's one of those people. Behind his closed door at his house, I guarantee you, the person that you see out in the streets, two totally different people. Because out in the streets, he could get killed for some of his views. He really can. On Facebook, he's safe. That's my point.
Internet tough guys.
Internet. I don't want to say he's an internet tough guy. I just know he's safe there. So, I think Ellen Barkin went a little over the top. I agree with you. I think that was...
Okay, for all of the people that she is, you know, I guess all of the different types of people, the pro-life, anti-education, anti-woman, xenophobic, gay-bashing, racist SOBs, for all of those people that she doesn't like...
Yes.
Whose opinion she has completely different views on,
What would her stereotype be at this point?
That kind of makes her...
Which one? Because she can't be all of them. She can only be one of them.
Well, no.
What does that make her?
That would make her...
Just a jerk.
A jerk? That would...
That's it. That's all it makes her.
She would be a proponent of genocide, wouldn't she?
I would... Well...
Mass killings?
No,
she's basically asking for mass killings.
She said she wanted them washed into the ocean. She didn't say she wanted them to be put into the ocean and drowned and killed. She just wants them all just like to have to swim back.
Okay, can we read into it?
Can we read between the lines? Yeah, sure, we can read between the lines.
Would it say that she wants all of those types of people just washed right into the ocean?
Yeah.
And generally, what happens during a hurricane when you get washed into the ocean? You're not coming back.
Probably, yeah. Probably. I'll be the first one to admit that. Yeah, we're reading between the lines. I'm a very fair person here on the Q.
She wants all those people dead.
The Q is in a very fair
place.
Which
basically makes her just as ununderstanding and unsympathetic as all of those other people that she doesn't like. Whatever happened to saying, you know what, I don't agree with your stance, but I don't exactly just want you dead. Let's try to come to terms.
Or agree to disagree.
And agree to disagree. When does death really, I mean... Are all of these people saying that they want Ellen Barkin dead? Are all of these other people saying that they want everyone who is against them dead? No, Ellen Barkin is, though.
True. I think you make a good point. There's nothing really to argue there. Matt, once again, you've come through like the champ that you are, and I can't at all argue you down. Now, we only got a few more minutes here left in this hour. So, a Montana man was struck and killed while attempting to convince passing motorists on Highway 93... that he was a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. 44-year-old Randy Lee Tenley of Kalispell reportedly walked into traffic and was well into the driving lane when he was hit by two oncoming vehicles. According to his companions, he was out there in a ghillie suit attempting to incite a sighting of Bigfoot to make people think that they had seen Sasquatch. Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Jim Schneider told KECI he probably would have not been easy to see at all. Police are investigating whether alcohol played a factor in the incident. Okay, do you need to be in the street? Do you need to be in the street when you're wearing your ghillie suit trying to make people think that you're Bigfoot?
No.
How about on the side of the road? Could you be on the side of the road?
Walking down the side of the road. At the tree lines.
And then, like, look at the motorists as they come by and then run towards the trees and, like, dive into them to make people think they saw Bigfoot?
Right.
Like, do you need to be in the street? No, you don't. Because you're an idiot. You're just an idiot. This is... Oh, my goodness.
Now, from what I hear, though, it was a 15-year-old girl that hit him with her car. And
she was probably freaked out.
And so, like, another car swerved, and then the third car ran him over was driven by somebody who was 17. Who lets 15-year-olds drive?
Maybe that's in Montana. There are still states that do have their own like age limits and age laws. So it's possibly it's a Montana thing. All right, before we get out of here on this hour here, let me do a question from the listener. You want to do a quick question from the listener?
Love these.
Mark, big fan of the show. Hope everything's going well with you. What is one thing you only do when you're home alone? Matt, what is the one thing that you only do when you are home alone?
That I only do? So, like, if there is one other person in the house, I'm not going to do it?
You are not going to do it.
No fifth? Plead the fifth?
Well, this person said poop with the door open. That was his.
I don't even do that.
I'm going to say the one thing that
I don't think that there's anything.
That you will only do when you're by yourself at home. With anyone else here in the house, you refuse to do it. I would say for me, I don't know, man. There's really not much in my house that I'm not willing to do in front of my wife or at least one other person at all times. I mean, when I was single and younger and me and my wife didn't have kids and all that, maybe, you know, Yankee the Winky? That would be about the only thing that I'd do because I wouldn't want her to find out. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because then there's like that part of your relationship that they feel like, oh, I'm not, you know, we don't need to get into all that. But that would be like the one thing.
Does this person say what the one thing is that they do?
Yeah, poop with the door open.
Oh, okay.
That's what they said. Their thing is that I if I'm home by myself and no one else is here, I'll poop with the door.
I mean, well, I guess, okay, well, like walking around the house naked.
Okay, that will count. That will count.
Because I hate clothes. I really do. If I could walk around my everyday life just like naked, I probably would, but, you know, nowadays you'd go to jail for that, so.
Just keep your clothes on during the break, okay?
I look amazing out of my clothes,
just keep
okay?
your clothes on during the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. It's time for CBS News at the top of the hour. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. I'm joined by Matt Krueger. We'll be back right after this on The Q. Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing. Welcome back to The Q, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Bland joined by Matt Krueger today. Let me get that proper voice moving there. You know what I'm saying, Matt?
I do.
You do?
I do. You know, I asked if you were ready.
Yeah, I am. I am ready. So, welcome back to The Q, of course, Mark Bland, and joined today. TheQNow.com, make sure you check that out. Old episodes, new episodes, great stuff there. The Breaking Point blog, where we always kind of post things like me defeating Fred Slow from Too Heavy to Skydive and Horse, and putting that bad boy to rest. All those arguments that me and him were having. If you didn't see that, go check that out. That's at The Breaking Point. Plus, if you want to contact the show, if you want to be one of the listeners who hits us up with an email like we had at the end of the last hour and stuff like that, just give us a call. Just hit us up. Do whatever you got to do. Get a hold of us. We want you to get a hold of us. Matt, have you ever gone to theQNow.com?
I have.
And do you...
I was probably one of the first people to ever go to theQNow.com.
That's probably very true. That's probably very true. I never even thought about that. Like, you just don't expect, like, sometimes things just cross your mind you don't expect or think about.
Right.
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, someone says something and you're like, wow, I guess that is right. Like, that's
route. Like your best friend going to your website?
Yeah, that'd probably be it. That'd be one of those things. All right, I wanted to talk to you some of the, we talked about this at the top of the last hour, the beginning. I kind of teased it a little bit, and I want to talk about it at the beginning of this. Do you know what a life insurance annuity, variable annuity claim is?
No.
Okay. Now,
I don't have life insurance.
Before we go any further with this, let me ask you this question. Do you feel that it's fair or proper for people to benefit off of the death of other people? This is where this can go a little controversial, I think.
Do I think it's fair for people to profit off of death?
Yes, of others. Of others. Because now, like, funeral homes profit off of the death of others.
I was going to say, funeral homes have been doing it for a hospitals long
have.
Time.
Hospitals do this. Tons of things. Casket making companies, they do. You know, mm-hmm. lots of places benefit off of the death of others. Now, let me explain to you the idea of a life insurance variable annuity clause or claim. Okay.
Okay.
Basically, what happens with a life insurance company? Because you know how a life insurance company works in typical. You pay a monthly fee of so much money. In exchange for that monthly fee that you pay, you're guaranteed that if you die at a certain age or by a certain time, whatever the clause is within the life insurance claim,
mm-hmm.
okay, you are to receive a certain amount of money in exchange for that.
Yes.
So say you die in a horrific like car or train accident or something like that.
Right.
Your wife, you guys have a $250,000 life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
You pay $20 a month for your husband to be on it. He happens to get on a train. There is an accident. He dies in the accident. You turn in the claim. And then in exchange for that, you get $250,000 for the monies that you've been putting in over the time period that you've been with this clause. And usually there's a ruling that it has to be, you had to have like had the claim, or not the claim, but the insurance policy for a year or more. You know, you can't just like have an insurance policy and 2 months later, boom, the person dies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they have laws against certain things like that. But there are ones like that that still do exist. You can buy into them. They just cost a lot more per month to have. Now, the whole point of a variable life insurance variable annuity claim is that the insurance company is, they're receiving a high-end pay-in to the insurance company. In exchange for this high-end pay-in to the insurance company, they do investing of the monies into certain accounts and this, that, and the other. And basically, there's a trigger person that if this person dies, what happens is that money immediately becomes available and you're basically, you're taking a risk. You have to put a ton of money in, but if you take the risk, like, okay, let's say it's $25,000. So you sign in for a $25,000 investment into this annuity claim, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if a certain person kicks the bucket, then you get $1 million or $500,000 or something like that, okay? But it's all dictated off of the fact that this person dies. Now, in most cases, there is the original investor, there's the claimant, and then there's the annuity. Okay? The claimant is the person who is setting the claim up. So let's say you, Matt, all right, decide to get one of these policies.
Okay.
Now, the reason this is kind of controversial and weird is because recently, within the last year or so, they've switched this entire process up, changed their legalese on it in their documents so that you couldn't do this. But there was a loophole.
Okay.
There was a loophole for many years, and we're talking like 25 years on these things. There was a loophole that basically stated that the claimant, yourself,
okay,
in this case, the investor, and the annuity person could be three different people. So you and me could know that your mom is passing away. She's within 2 months of death.
Okay.
There was no rulings whatsoever in these old annuity claims that said how long you had to have the policy for. The whole point was that you could just pay into the policy, and then upon the annuity, the individual dying, it triggered the claim and you could get your money. So I could come to you, you could come to me and go, Mark, mom's not doing real well. And there's an option for a life insurance policy. We pay in $25,000 and they do some investing in this, that, and the other. But if mom passes away, we're going to make $250,000. So what happened was there were people that turned this into a business. They would go and search out individuals who were either terminal
mm-hmm.
or close to death. They would go and offer them money up front. Hey, I got a guy who's willing to invest into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's going to happen is I'm the claimant. This person is the investor. They're going to invest in on this. Now, usually the claimant and the annuity person are the same individual. Like the way it should normally work, they're the same individual. But because it was this loophole that didn't specify that that had to be the case, you could find people that were terminal. And as long as they were willing to sign their name on the dotted line, your money pays in on this situation, they pass away, it kicks you the money back. You pay in $25,000, you make $250,000 mm-hmm. or you make $500,000.
Okay.
And it's literally based off of the death. So these people were going to, let's say, a terminal individual. Like, we were talking about your mom for a second there. Not that we want your mom to pass away. But we were going to a terminal individual, and we would go, hey, we know life is rough right now. You're in the last few months, you know, of life and this, that, and the other. Wouldn't it be nice to have, like, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to just go do whatever you want, play with, and this, that, and the other? And people were like, well, yeah, because you can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
They already know that they're terminal and they're going to be dying soon anyway. They might have bills. They might have some things that they'd like to do nice for their family or whatever. So you tell them, I'll give you $4,000, pay you $4,000 right now, cash in hand. You sign off on this. And then I got a guy who's willing to invest the $25,000 on the side. So they sign off on the thing. This person puts the 25 G's in. 2 months later, when you die, you already got your 4 G's and spent it on your family and whoever, right?
Okay.
You're dead, right? This person, the claimant, turns the claim into the insurance company and then turns around and receives $250,000, $300,000, $500,000, $1 million. Whatever their initial investment was and what it was supposed to pay off, they get that back. To me, it seems like a win-win-win-win-win across the board. But that,
okay.
But and the reason that is because you
except
have
for the person that dies. You know.
Well, no, but the person who dies knew that they were going to die anyway.
Right.
Do you see my point?
What happens if they don't die?
Well, yeah, but that's the point. These people that were finding these individuals out. Now, here's what was really funny. Some of these individuals they were giving them $20,000 and having them for $2,000 per signature sign off on multiple annuities.
Mm-hmm.
So when the one person died, they turn in 9 claims. To the insurance company. The insurance companies didn't care because they were getting high-end investments over the top. Money that was free and clear. That was more like what they would pay you back out was equal to or more. But then the way that they're hitting it off of the government and other places like that offset those costs. They were making money hand over fist. Plus, they were getting 4 to 5, 10% of the monies back anyway. In the long run. So the insurance companies were making money on top of money. They were still paying the claimants out who were investing $25,000 and getting $250,000 back. And this person over here passed away having signed off her name 10 times for $2,000 a pop
mm-hmm.
to the tune of $20,000 before she died. But she was going to die anyway. So my question at that point is, and I know that that seems very convoluted what I explained, but the point is here are two individuals that are going to invest money on this person dying over here. And that person knows full right well going into it that they are going to be dying soon. And they're getting money up front in exchange for their signature that says that, yeah, they'll be these people can be the beneficiary upon my death. Does that seem like it's, like, is there a gray area there? I think it's a win-win-win all the way across the board. But they took a lot of people to jail over this. They sued a lot of these people that had found this loophole and had been doing this for many years. People out of New York and New Jersey, people out of Missouri that had been
suing
doing this.
Suing them for what?
They were suing them for the fact that they were basically using the mental health and diminished well-being of an individual for financial gain. That's the main claim. And that is technically illegal. But some of these people testified that they knew going into it that they were dying in a few months
mm-hmm.
and that they wanted the 2000. Like, some of these people...
signed for it. Why the hell not?
But that's my point. Would you ever do that? Would you ever do that? And does that seem like you're...
No, because I'm really skeptical.
Profiting off of someone's death.
Okay.
Like, if you knew for a fact it was a guarantee...
Would I do that to somebody or would I sign off, like, as the person dying, being like, yeah, whatever,
okay,
guys.
Let's go both routes. Let's say you have the potential to make $500,000 off of one of these annuity situations, okay?
Okay.
You got me, Mark, your friend,
uh-huh.
who's willing to put in the $50,000 to set the claim up in the first place. So I have that money, and we make a deal. The deal is, hey, so-and-so passes away, or we get someone who's, like, close to death who passes away that triggers this. I'll put up the $5,000, then we'll split the $500,000 down in the middle. You take $250, I take $250.
Okay.
And all we have to do is find someone who's willing to sign off, who's close to death, because we're finding out specifically. Like, you're not going to find someone who's like 21 years old.
I would still say no. This doesn't sound like anything I'd like to be interested in on any side.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think you would do it? Knowing that there is, like, the person that we would get to sign off on it knows that they're going to die. They know full right that they're signing on to the situation for their death to trigger a payout. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And we're giving this individual a few thousand dollars for that signature.
Once again, I'll reiterate my answer. No. I don't think I'd want to be a part of this on any side.
Not even as the person signing off.
Did I just say that?
But not
I said
as,
no.
Not even as the person signing off.
I don't want to be a part of any of that, Mark.
Okay, let's say... But you're in the last...
Now you're going to try to convince me
no,
of
no,
it?
No.
This all sounds really stupid.
Oh.
Like I just... I don't understand, like, all of this, and... I don't know, it's just... This sounds like too many ways for me to screw up and screw somebody over and lose out, because guess what? I'm not very smart when it comes to contracts.
Fair enough.
And I'm going to end up getting jerked over. Somehow.
Interesting. Interesting.
Like, I am a very highly skeptical person.
Okay, now, what if we took this and turned it completely internalized into your own family? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
What if it was your own family? And... You were terminal, and you knew for a fact that you were dying in a month. Guaranteed. Cross the board. No questions asked.
Yeah, what's your point?
And they came to you, and they're like, hey, we know for a fact that if we do this right here, and there is a payout because of your death on the backside of this a month from now, 2 months from now,
mm-hmm.
this would set our family up for life.
That's great. Earn your own damn money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I thought it was a really unique, interesting story that I heard about these people that were doing this, and that I just thought it was kind of it kind of questioned certain morals, you know, like high end morals. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I thought it would be something.
Well, as a proponent of free market, you know, make your money however you want. And if I want to be a part of it, I will. This is not something I want to be a part of.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move on. I have been doing some random letters from the listeners. I do have a question for you that's really unique.
Is it more unique than that last one?
Yes, way more unique than that one. What, Matt, and for all of you out there listening, what is your favorite movie that barely anyone else has ever seen, knows, or even cares about, but you think it is amazing and everyone should check it out? But it's one of those movies that nobody knows about.
Hesher. Hesher.
You really think that Hesher falls into this category?
Yeah, because for everyone that I ask, because, like, I love the movie Hesher. And for all the people that I talk to about it with, nobody has any clue what I'm talking about. And it has some major, it has two major stars in it. And nobody's ever heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen Hesher.
Mm-hmm.
I know who's in it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Good actor. Mm-hmm. Used to be on Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, has been in Inception. He was in Inception.
I haven't seen Inception.
He
so
was in Inception.
But he was in Dark Knight Rises.
He was in Dark Knight Rises. And
he's in this new bicycle movie.
And that's the movie.
About.
Hesher's the one where he's the punk rock guy or
he's the metalhead. He's the metalhead. The dysfunctional metalhead.
Yeah. Very entertaining movie. Interesting.
He's the burnout.
Especially
the burnout with the heart of gold.
The scene in the housing complex at the beginning of the movie. Very entertaining. Yeah. I remember that to be very entertaining. Is there any other movies that you would recommend or that people could potentially...
Movie that I've seen that nobody else has seen? Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yeah, I would say Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun was crazy.
I got people here hitting me up on Twitter as well as Facebook giving me some of their answers. Titan A.E.?
Oh, dude, Titan A.E. is great.
Never seen Titan A.E.
It's got Drew... It's an animated movie.
Okay.
It's got Drew Barrymore,
okay.
Matt Damon... Bill Pullman, Nathan, he was in the movie The Birdcage.
Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane is in it. Jeanine Garofalo.
What's the point of this movie?
Okay, basically, Earth is being invaded by an alien species, and they come down like the movie Independence Day and basically blow up the Earth. And there is a certain amount of people that are fleeing in their spaceships, and there is this one main spaceship called Titan A.E.
Okay.
And it flees. And so now humanity, the human species, is basically roaming around the ends of space as, like, basically they're like the homeless people.
They're like travelers, gypsies.
Yeah. Flying around trying to do, and they're basically considered the slaves,
the lowest dredges of
the space society. Wow. They're not treated fairly because they're human beings. I don't know.
I get it. I understand.
And so this alien species that has invaded the Earth is continually going out and trying to hunt down the last remaining humans. And Matt Damon holds the map, kind of like... basically, he holds the map to finding Titan AE, which is supposed to be able to save humanity, in the palm of his hand, literally. It's ingrained in this ring that he wears that he doesn't even know what it can do, to find Titan AE.
Well, don't spoil.
It's basically the aliens and the remaining humans trying to get to Titan AE.
It's a race. It's a race for the Titan.
Right. To either save humanity or to deal it its final crushing blow.
It's really good. The movie that I'm going to put out there is Catfish.
Yeah, you've told me about
Catfish
that.
Is a very interesting story about what happens if Craigslist ever went wrong. That's basically, or Facebook ever went wrong.
And it has nothing to do with Catfish,
and
apparently.
It has nothing to do with Catfish. I'm getting a few more of these tweets here. Final Cut with Robin Williams. Love that movie. Very good movie. Not a lot of people know about that one. He plays a gentleman who... people, like, the people have the option to implant chips into their children's brains at birth, which record their entire lives.
Uh-huh.
And once they die, there's an individual who cuts the footage together and edits it into a movie to represent the deceased's life. And then they play that at their funeral.
Huh.
So it, like, records as you live every moment of your life. And, you know, it kind of goes into privacy rights and the idea of, like, the person who's cutting these clips together and kind of what goes along with it. You know what I'm saying? Because this person sees a lot of crazy things. So
what about that movie that Serbia put out a few years ago? Should we talk about that?
Oh, a Serbian film? Okay, if you're one of those people who's a glutton for, like, really gory, over-the-top, like, really bad...
Gory and just morally reprehensible, disturbing type movies.
I would see Serbian film. That would not be a recommendation. I'm not condoning Serbian film. I'm just saying that it exists. And if you're one of those lower dredges of society that's running for the Titan AE ship, you probably don't have a lot going for you anyway, and you're probably willing to watch it. Because I did. Let's see here. Some of the other people. Wrist Cutters, A Love Story.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I have never seen that movie. I don't know nothing about it. Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder was a big movie. It was a big movie. But then again, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Dogville. Bubba Hotep. That's a good
Bubba
one.
Bubba Hotep was awesome.
Bubba Hotep
and
is a
And I
really
have
good
friends
movie.
That hate Bubba Hotep. But it's got Black Kennedy.
I would, Pootie Tang. I'm getting
Pootie
like
Pootie Tang. Jeez, it's not a good movie for anybody.
Scotty G says Reefer Madness, the movie musical. Lantis for Pigs says The Vicious Kind. And who else we got here? I'm just kind of going around seeing ones that I don't really know all that well. Goon Sea Squirrel says Goon. A violent and hilarious hockey movie starring Stifler.
Really?
From American Pie.
Right.
Yes.
What's the guy's name? Sean William Scott?
Sean William Scott. Yeah, definitely. Interesting. But yeah, there's that. That's going on there. Movies that you...
How about the Cube trilogy?
You know, I didn't like Cube 2 and 3. Cube 1 was okay. I liked the first of a lot of movie franchises. Like, I liked Fast and the Furious Part 1. Part 2 was kitschy and okay, but then when they started
Tokyo
getting into
Drift
Tokyo
was,
Drift
no.
and Fast 4 and 5 and all that, like, I just
You know what there
to...
always is? Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
That would be another one that's interesting that you kind of hit me to.
Yeah, and not a lot of people know about it because it was during that whole comedy writer's strike.
You're right.
Or not the actors and writers
the
strike.
The Hollywood strike a few years ago.
And so that was put together during that whole blackout, you know, and so not a lot of people heard about it. It's just on the internet. You know, it's got Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
Right. So if you would, if you, I wish we could, I wish you could sing me a song, Matt, from Dr. Horrible to just take us out at the end of this little break here down to the CBS NewsHour. Is there a song from Dr. Horrible that you're a big fan of?
Well, I like them all, but...
You like them all?
Yeah.
It is kind of a sing-along type of movie.
Yeah, it's a sing-along.
It is a sing-along blog. So don't forget about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break here on KYRO 1280 and The Q. If you get a chance, check out theqnow.com. We are sponsored by American Patriot Beer. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The Q, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Bland joined today by Matt Kruger from Savage Vibrations. Follow him on Facebook, Savage Vibrations. Facebook.com/Savage Vibrations.
Yeah.
That's how they get a hold of it.
Yeah, Facebook.com/Savage Vibrations.
And then that's where they can find episodes of the show that we did and the things that we talk about.
There's all kinds of links there.
All kinds of good stuff there. So, hey, I do have a letter from the listener I think we need to run down real quick. Definitely want to hear your opinion on this one. You ready?
Yeah. And even if I'm not, I'm going to lie to you and say, yeah, I'll come up with something.
Sounds like a plan. All right. This may sound like a minor problem, Mark, but I've been going out with this great guy for 1.5 months now. Everything's great, but for one little thing. He's a horrible kisser. Forgive the way I say this,
but
he just sticks his tongue in my mouth, and that's just about it. I tried a million different ways to guide him or whatever, including teasing him and, you know, the usual, but nothing works. I even told him, right, don't do anything for a moment, and tried to show him, and all for nothing. I really don't want to tell him because I don't want to hurt his feelings, but some people, I suppose, are bad kissers for life. What should I do? So, we have a girl. She's been dating a guy for 1.5 months. She's young, and she's only 22 years old. She's from Ireland, so we have listeners in Ireland, which is kind of nice. But
dump him. I'm a great kisser.
So, Matt, your way of fixing this entire problem is
gut check answer, dump him. I'm a great kisser.
So get a hold of Matt. Get a hold of Matt from Ireland.
Facebook.com/Savage Vibrations.
There it is.
Really, what I would do, like, as a girl, she would be able to pull this off. As a guy, I couldn't use this same tactic. So
okay.
This is gender exclusive.
Okay.
To a girl trying to teach a guy how to kiss. Go in for the kiss. And when he goes and once he starts like going off topic and starts kind of not doing something that you like, pull back. Give him not a hard pop, but a placeful like snap right on the cheek, and kind of he'll be taken aback, and like all of a sudden his thoughts will just be like, well, what was that? And then go in and say, no, like this. And kiss him how you want to be kissed.
Now, see, giving relationship advice about this type of stuff, I'm a little bit out of the game a little bit because I'm married, you know, and I've been married for quite a few years.
Yeah, there is no kissing or hand-holding
going
on in your marriage.
There is nothing going on in my marriage whatsoever.
Even though you just had a kid, right?
We just had children, but that doesn't mean anything. I would say that in this case, like how...
It's like, I wouldn't worry about hurting his
feelings.
In a
marriage, kissing isn't all that important. Like, it's still there.
Or, you know
what?
We
still kiss each other.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah?
Just take him and be like, listen, you are going to sit there and we are going to kiss all night until you get this right. You should rest your lips, like, all day.
I've got another person who's hit me up. Mark, not a fan of the show sometimes because of your hard-edged liberal politics. But you do tend to give good advice, so I have something I want to throw your direction. So there it is. Double-edged sword. Double-edged sword for me. I have been with my guy for almost 2 years. We're best friends and get along 98% of the time we're together. The problem is that he loves women. So much so that when an attractive woman walks by, he blatantly mentions something about her. Look at that butt or something like that to that extent. I take offense when he does this and he doesn't understand why, saying that he only has eyes for me. Well, if that's the case, then why does he constantly point out how beautiful these other women are? I would never do that to him because if I did, I know he would be just as hurt. He's also 18 years old. What should I do?
Okay, take into account that he's 18.
Yep.
He's got hormones running constantly through his body at an accelerated, very, very high rate.
Yes.
And so you need to understand that he is probably frustrated.
Horny.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
So if he is saying, I only have eyes for you, and you're saying, well, no, obviously you don't because
you guys just haven't lived enough life.
You're looking and commenting. For one, yeah. Right now, his mentality primally is saying, I need to go and I need to be with every single woman because generally, that like primally, men,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
it's,
I get it.
It's our job to spread seed.
Yeah, see, like.
I'm not saying that that's what we do and that's not what I do and that's not what you do. You're married, you have a wife, you have kids with that particular one person.
Exactly.
But primitively, men, our job is to promote the continuation of the species and our own bloodline wherever possible.
Okay, and, now, my end of this is very interesting because I think, Matt, that this is one of those situations where you guys shouldn't be together. And I hate to say
maybe
that.
Maybe you guys should just be dating.
You guys should just be
date other people.
Dating and dating a lot of other people.
It sounds like he's not ready to be in a relationship.
I was given some of the best advice I ever got when I was around 18 or 19. I was told to wait until after I was 25 to get married.
Yeah.
Do not get married until after you're 25 years old.
You got all the kinks worked out.
Yeah.
Literally.
And the truth is I met my wife when I turned about 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And literally from that point on, things were relatively good just because of the fact that I didn't feel that I needed to sow those seeds of love. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need to be fruitful in the world any further. I had been around the block a few times and gotten my heart trashed a few times. So I kind of knew exactly what I was looking for out of the person. Yeah, your boyfriend, he might be telling you that he only has eyes for you. And yes, those guys that do meet their wives and they're high school sweethearts and then they eventually stay together for 50 years and have kids and everything
that's
like that.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful and it does happen, but it doesn't happen all that often. And you're writing me a letter to the Q Show specifically for the fact that it's not happening right now.
That particular thing is rare. Most people go into marriage already planning their divorce.
Yeah.
So my advice would to be, for one, if it's really a bothersome, communication is probably the most important thing in any relationship, whether it be romantic or just friendships or even workplace relationships with your boss. Conversation, communication, talk to him about it. Let him know how you feel. If you've already done that and he's not understanding and he's not willing to correct some behavior that you're not comfortable with, he's probably not going to, and there's going to be other things in the future that, you know, you might find reprehensible and that you're not okay with. So while you may like him and he's 18, I'm guessing you are also very close to 18. Most relationships at that age are not going to last. And I say, have fun while you're there. Enjoy each other if you can. And if not, cut your losses and move on to somebody who does have only eyes for you.
Fair enough. I think that was great advice, Dr. Krueger.
I'm Dr. Love.
You are Dr. Love. Let's move on. I want to say rest in peace to Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing to do. That's like historical.
They should shoot his ashes up to the moon.
Let's be honest.
Bury him on the moon.
There are only so many things that are still unfounded or undone in this entire current history that
a lot
we
of people
in.
Still say that we still have not landed on the moon, but
then we can land.
So that might be still one of those undone things.
But then again, we land a rover on Mars. I think we could probably
that's a hoax too. I guess I don't know.
We could probably get to the moon. No, I just want to say that's like a really huge thing. Like, I don't think people really understand, like, yeah, you'll say the day that the Berlin Wall came down was, like, a very historical moment, or 9/11, you know, a very historical moment, and yes, those are. But like, there are very, very few people in history that that get to a point at all in their lives to where they physically are a part of or change the game completely from top to bottom. Like Julius Caesar, we still say his name. Like, he was that revered for being that powerful because no one had ever been that powerful before him. Obviously, Jesus Christ, you know, if you're a believer in God and Jesus and all that, you know, obviously very impactful. Landing on the moon was like a huge freaking move. The first person to literally leave our body in space that the Earth is and go to another planet or moon and touch down on it. Like, no one else had done that before him, ever, in the entire history of the world from the dinosaurs and before. No one had ever done that. So that's a huge, huge thing.
At least not that we know of.
At least not that we know of.
There could have been, like, alien abductions and things like
that. Could have
been.
And that would have been on last week's show with conspiracies. We talked about a lot of conspiracies last week. We loved conspiracies.
So you had brought up September 11th.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And September 11th is really kind of coming up very, very soon.
Yeah, we're, what, a few days away from it now?
And so I wanted to ask you, because I don't think I've ever heard this story from you.
Okay.
I want to know, where were you on September 11th?
On September 11th, I was actually asleep at 8:30 in the morning, Central Standard Time. And my wife, she had spent the night. We weren't married yet. We had only been dating for, gosh, almost a year at that point.
Okay.
So we were not near marriage. We were just dating, like those two that we talked about earlier in the listener letter should be doing is just dating. And I was asleep. I got a phone call, and my wife said that I needed to wake up and turn the TV. First, she asked me if I was okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing good. I just woke up. You woke me up out of a dead sleep. And she said, yeah, I know. Turn on the TV and tell me what you see. So I turned the TV on, and there was plane number one crashing into the building, the first plane. And I told her, I said, there's a movie on TV about, like, some type of a disaster movie, something with a building getting crashed into by a plane or something like that. That's what I told her, literally on the phone. And she said, that's not a movie. And I said, yeah, it's a movie. And, like, I started flipping through the stations. And while I was
on every channel.
While I was on the phone with her, I started to notice that they're talking, like, I'm flipping through, and then every channel, literally every single channel was news. Every channel. Channels that you didn't even know were connected to news stations were
HBO
news.
HBO is running news.
Yeah, they were. Like, it was news, 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 news on almost every single channel. They were overriding feeds. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but there seems to be this massive story that's going across all the stations at the same time. And my wife explained to me that a plane had hit the buildings. And then while I was on the phone with her, she hung up and I called back. And while she was on the phone with me the second time, the second plane hit the building. And from that moment on out, I was freaked out. My wife was freaked out. She stayed at work, though, because she worked at a newspaper at the time. lo and behold, a place to be at on the day that September 11th happens is a newspaper. So she was kind of stuck there working to take care of the news that was coming in as it was coming in. And that's kind of my story for September 11th. Nothing really exciting. I like Seth MacFarlane's story about September 11th way more, about how he had the plane ticket to be on Flight 93, or the one that eventually crashed into the Pentagon.
Oh, okay.
And the story goes that he woke up late, an hour late, and he did everything in his power to get to the plane and to the gate as fast as he could, and he literally just missed it and watched it taxi away. And literally an hour and a half later, it would be in pieces and everyone dead on it from crashing into the Pentagon. Which is pretty impressive, because then if that would have happened, Family Guy.
So basically what you're saying is Family Guy, American Dad, Ted, all of his voiceover work really is just a gift from God.
It is pretty much a gift from God. He was very happy.
It's because it's divine intervention. Now, God wanted us to have Seth MacFarlane.
Now, the rule is that if Marky Mark Wahlberg had been on those planes, he would have taken care of business. he would have known exactly how to take those terrorists out, and therefore we would have never had the issues that we had on September 11th.
True. Now, me, on September 11th, I was in Kirksville, Missouri.
Okay.
I was living up north.
Yep.
Near, basically hometown of Truman State University.
Right.
Or not, yeah, Truman State University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like thinking, I was like,
it used to be Northeast Missouri State.
I don't know. Anyway, it's Truman State now. And, just like you, I was sleeping. I've always been a night owl. I've never really been one to wake up early unless I had to. And, I had my own apartment, me and a roommate, and, I wasn't going to school or anything. You know, I was just up there working, helping him pay rent and all that. And, I get a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you. We have very similar stories. And my mom is, hey, how are you? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. What's going on? She's like, we're at war. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, America's at war. And I didn't believe her, you know?
Right.
Because, me and my little world, like, I have nice little safe little
now,
bubble.
Now, when she says to you, America's at war.
Yeah.
My question for you, regardless of your safe bubble, is, do you picture the Revolutionary War? Do you picture World War II going through your mind? Or do you picture, like, World War III and nuclear weapons war?
Well, immediately I'm thinking, like, okay, we're at war. No, okay, quit screwing me with me. And then she starts kind of telling me, turn on the news, and I'm seeing what's kind of happening. And, like, immediately, I mean, I have a very creative, very rampant running mind.
Right.
And so I'm seeing, in my head, battling in the streets, people fighting, rioting, basically riots.
Right.
In the streets. Not Revolutionary War. People meeting with muskets and bayonets out in the fields.
I think that would be
taking turns loading, being like, don't fire yet, I'm not ready.
I think that would be hilarious, though.
And so I turn on.
Can you
on
get that bayonet up there?
Yeah,
come on,
so
let's do that.
I turn on the news, and for the rest, for like the next 2 hours, I just sat and watched the news.
Now, did you get a feeling on September 11th when it happened? Did you get a feeling of fright? Fear?
I think it was more confusion. I wasn't really afraid.
Sick in your stomach?
No.
I did. I got a feeling of.
I was just confused. I didn't know why things were happening. But I didn't get as I wasn't afraid because I was living in Kirksville, Missouri. It's like nothing is going to happen to me. Like I will be okay here in my small ass rural town.
Right. I, on the other hand, had gotten a very strong sense of fear. Like, how far is this going to go? What is our world going to be like if we go down this road that I think we're going down because they've already attacked us? Dude,
right.
Is there more attacks coming?
Right.
Like,
that one
really did. Like, I felt sick to my stomach. I remember a majority of the day hanging out. It was obviously September 11th. It wasn't wintertime yet.
No.
It was, like, basically still warm out. I think it was, like, a 90-plus degree day. Because, summer hadn't even been over yet. Remember, fall doesn't start until September 21st. That's the equinox. So, mm-hmm. Basically, it was still summertime weather. So I'm hanging out in the garage with my dad while he's working on a car all day long, listening to the radio feed as it's coming over, and just kind of staying close to home. I didn't really go anywhere or call anyone other than my wife.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I called some people. I remember the people I called, and I'm friends with those people on Facebook. Both of them were girls. They were basically my two previous most serious girlfriends that I'd had, up until that point. And so I called each one of them to make sure that they were okay, see how they were handling things. I'm still in contact with the one pretty regularly, but the other one is, kind of is getting married. It's got, children now. And so,
is it weird for me to say that I'm glad social media to the extent that it is in 2012 did not exist back in 2001? I'm glad because of how rampant the misinformation comes across very fast on Twitter and Facebook and things like that.
Did you hear the newest internet rumor that hit the net today?
Who?
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye got killed by Twitter today.
Bill
Twitter
Nye, the science guy, apparently died on Facebook and Twitter today, which I was really weird. Somebody, a friend of mine, had liked, RIP Bill Nye, the page.
Right.
And I was like, no way. And I went and I clicked on it, I was like, there's no way. I just saw him like on a little vlog thing, like few days ago, and he looked fine.
Now,
200,000 people had liked it.
Are you a big Bill Nye fan? Were you?
Yes.
I wasn't a big Bill Nye fan.
I was a huge Bill Nye the Science Guy fan.
I didn't watch a lot of Bill Nye. Like, I remember Saturday mornings, you know, came on at like 10 or 11 on Fox or whatever it was. I remember seeing the show a few times, but I don't remember like going out of my way to watch it.
I watched it every single day.
See, I was a Bayside
guy. I would go
guy.
Over, you know, Charlie and Sam, right? Yep. Our friends Charlie and Sam.
Yeah.
I would go over every single day. And this is, next time you talk to Sam, go ask Sam about me and him watching Bill Nye the Science Guy. It was like a regular occurrence. And dude, he was like 7. He was like 7 years old.
Like kids. You
yeah.
guys were kids.
And I was in high school, you know?
I don't remember being a huge fan of any one specific show back then other than Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I was a big Saved by the Bell fan. And
I'm
Wonder
just a
Years.
Big nerd.
Oh, dude, I was Wonder Years.
I'm just a big nerd.
I was a Wonder Years fan. But, like, but no, but at the time, I remember 3-2-1 Contact.
3-2-1 Contact. Yeah.
And then right after that, or right before that, was always Electric Company. I remember those shows.
There was a guy who was a scientist
that was on TV before him, before Bill Nye.
The Nova
Mr.
Dude?
Wizard. Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard?
I remember watching Mr. Wizard a lot. But a lot of that I don't like.
Ross and Mr. Rogers and...
Notice everything we're knocking out is KETC, Channel 9.
Yeah, dude.
Everything
I watched a lot of Channel 9. Sesame Street.
I always liked the
dude,
letter people.
The dude from Nova.
Oh, Nova was cool. I liked letter people.
What was the other one? Oh, I used to watch Welcome Back, Kotter a lot back in the day.
Yeah, Ron Palillo or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
We talked about Horseshack.
Horseshack,
he passed away. It was really weird for me. The shows that were, like, mainstream TV shows I remember from being a young, young kid, like 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, were what my grandma watched because she lived with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was The Jeffersons. I remember that.
That was slightly before me.
I remember
Mr. Cotter was slightly before me
All
as
in
well,
the Family, I remember heavily. All in the Family, The Jeffersons.
Dude, Mama's Family.
Mama's Family was after Grandma moved out, but I remember watching that myself.
Dude, what about Fall Guy? Did you ever see Fall Guy?
Love the Fall Guy.
Dude, Fall Guy was me. And Hunter?
Hunter, I never watched. Airwolf. I do remember.
Airwolf.
And Blue Thunder.
Oh, dude, Airwolf.
Do you remember when there was a time period in history when, for some reason, everyone was like, yeah, helicopters. Helicopters that will take out bad guys at all times. That's where we need to
be.
Movies, TV shows.
I liked Airwolf so much, I bought the 8-bit Nintendo system version of Airwolf.
I bet you that was
horrible. No, it was great.
It was great.
It was awesome. You got to fly a helicopter around and blow stuff up.
Now, I remember Chopper Command, which was
no.
similar, I think, to Airwolf. Same style of like.
Other than that, then you would move into like the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo versions, and you had it wasn't exactly Airwolf, but the Strike movies. There was like Urban Strike and Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, and you basically flew around, and you had to like pick up fuel and pick up weapons and missiles, and you'd take down the enemy targets like satellites.
Chopper Command, but Chopper Command was more 8-bit or like Atari 2600. Interesting. It's just so weird, like, what used to be popular. Like, now, those video games and stuff that we're talking about, very intricate storylines. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to get out of here. We're almost up to the end of the hour here on KYRO 1280 AM, the Blowtorch of the Midwest. Definitely, definitely check out AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Great sponsor for the show. Get some of that for your Labor Day. Also, don't forget to check out theQNow.com. That's where you can find out the information about this show. Become a fan. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Let everyone know. I want to thank Matthew Kruger so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate it. Follow him, Facebook.com/SavageVibrations. That's going to do it for us here on The Q, as well as WestplexNewsTalk.com. We'll be back next time and next week, every Saturday from noon until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. See you guys next week. Shining, 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 shining. What's up?
puts on God. Trying to block my shot just ain't gonna happen, so don't try. Every time I get on this microphone, I like to spit and get hit up after hit. This chemistry is so legit, I can't be quipped like a prophylactic. Now they riding dicks, like styling on these suckers out here trying to buy their bitch. Now they rich, try convince everybody to trick off, but a true boss to pay the cost. She giving away them.